Hello everyone, welcome to episode 2 of Hobbies for Zombies. I'm your host for this morning, and I'm Carnage, and with me is Muzz.
Hi, I'm Muzz.
First thing we want to do is, we want to thank those of you who listened to our first episode last week and gave us feedback. And we realized that we got quite a few things talking about the length of our show, and our first episode was pretty long.
It was an hour and 40 minutes, so yeah, we can understand.
Yeah, we want to address this, but we don't actually know how specifically to do it yet.
We're still working out the kinks.
Yeah, but today's episode should be shorter just because. So, I mean, hopefully it'll be one of those things that just kind of straightens itself out, but if we really need to take some tools to it, then we will. But yeah, thank you so much for listening and giving us some feedback.
Also, for our mail segment we keep talking about, we got a actual email. So if you want to email us, it's hobbiesforzombies@gmail.com, am I right?
That's it, yep.
So, voicemails, we will accept voicemails here. We'll accept just written as well. Heck, we'll put video on the thread if you want us to, so.
Yeah, anything. That's awesome.
So, eventually we'll have a segment once we get some mail.
Yep, and, I mean, are you ready to dive into this?
Yeah.
Alright.
So,
I want to play a game.
What have you, been playing this week?
I haven't been playing that much because I'm getting ready for being college-bound, whatever. But I did get two games in last weekend right after we did the podcast. The first one I'm only going to talk so much about because I didn't get very far in it, but it was really fun. Prince of Persia, The Forgotten Sands, which is the newest one. It is the interquel between the, not the original Prince of Persia, but the Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, and Warrior Within. It's really, you can kind of tell that it's trying to get something moving from the movie because that's kind of the reason why they did it. I can kind of tell that, but it's really fun. It's just like, mainly probably because I never really played a Prince of Persia before, that's why I'm really enjoying this. It's just like platforming and stuff like that. And the combat, like, first I wasn't into it, but then I noticed one thing that was so fun. Basically, and they don't tell you this in the tutorials, which is fine with me because I'll tell everyone else. They had this thing, because, like, you'll have all these, like, you'll have large rooms of people. You just have to, like, take out, like, maybe, like, 10 or 20 people. And you would press the A, you would go to them, press the A button, jump above on top of their head, and just, like, take out, like, 3 people. And it was
awesome.
It was kind of funny the first time I did it because it's just like boop boop boop, and you just jump right on top of their head and just go. Basically, the story is you're the prince and you're going to your brother Malik, who his city is under attack and he is having some trouble. So he decides to get an army of the undead and try to control them. He's like, well, if nothing else will work, I'll try this. And he's like, no. And guess what happens? The zombies try to kill everyone, like always.
Those damn zombies.
Well, they're like skeletons and stuff. And that's about, I just got the Sands of Time, so I'm not that far into it, but I'm definitely going to pick this up next time I can get a rental out of it. Maybe buy it. I don't know. I'm hearing stuff about it, like it gets like increasingly harder, which I'm completely fine with, because the only thing, I was a little battling the controls, but like I knew exactly what it was doing.
Would you consider this a movie game or no?
Not really.
Yeah, I didn't think so either, but you know how they timed it pretty good to come out with the movie.
Yeah. The only other game I played this week, which is another Ubisoft game, so I don't know if that's anything. It's Assassin's Creed. Not 2, 1. I never beat 1 for some reason. I'm on the I finally, because I always had trouble, you know that one book burning mission?
Yeah.
I hated that mission so much, so I just eventually looked at a guide.
Wait, what was different? Like, what was wrong with it?
Well, for people who haven't played Assassin's Creed 1, you're assassinating this one guy, and he's got six people that look exactly like him. So, you had to assassinate all six of these people without being, like, without all the people, without the main guy knowing it.
What? I've never done this.
Wait, what?
I remember the book burning mission, but the first person I killed every time was the real guy.
No, not for me. I always got the wrong guy.
That sucks.
So I had to look on a guide to see where the real guy was. So I don't know. And that's the reason why I was like, I got sick of that game, man. It was fun, the mission, but, like, I had to use a guide for it. It was just, like, there was no other way. And I'm getting some ideas, like I'm seeing where people are, like, well, because I saw my friend play, like, the first 2 hours of Assassin's Creed 2. So, like, I get now that, who's that one girl? The one girl who saved you in Assassin's Creed 2.
Oh,
spoilers.
Lucy?
Yeah, Lucy. She's, like, Desmond, they're trying to kill you, kind of. And he's like, what? And it's like, yeah. In Assassin's Creed 1, and I can see how that ties into Assassin's Creed 2. It's fun. I'm surprised how good this game looks. Even, it was a 2007 game?
And it
looks really good,
I think.
Don't you?
Yeah, it still looks really, really good. I had a love-hate relationship with this game because I played it, like, 6 times,
mm-hmm.
because I had different gamer tags for each time.
Oh.
And by the time, yeah, because I'm an achievement fucking whore, so by the last time I was playing it, it felt like every glitch and bug that the game had was leaping out at me, and I got so pissed at it, and I couldn't stand it, but then I went back recently and put it in again, and I was like, alright, yeah, it's still a really good game.
Are you excited for, because I know you were a big Assassin's Creed 2 fan, and for some reason you hate Altair. Can you tell me this?
I don't hate him. He's an extremely shallow character, I think.
I don't like him because he's just like, screw it.
Well, like, Ezio in the second one has, like, a
personality,
real story and personality. And, like, Altair, and what the fuck is up with his accent?
Who, Altair?
Yeah, an American accent in the middle of the Middle East.
Works for Prince of Persia. Basically. Okay, so, really the only thing, are you excited for Brotherhood?
I wasn't really at first, because they made it sound like it was only multiplayer, but
I really don't know that much about Brotherhood.
Well, now they're saying that there's a 15-hour campaign, which is how long it took me to beat the second one, and you're playing as Ezio again, who I really like, so it sounds like it
like
should be
a spinoff, but still good.
Yeah, it sounds like it should be amazing. Like, the second one was my favorite game last year, so hopefully it's good. I mean, it should be.
Hopefully I'll have Assassin's Creed 1 tied up by the end of the week next week, because now I don't got any more school, so that will only take me like a couple hours. I'm on the final mission, or the final technical mission. I know what happens in the story, because I'm a spoiler, stupid person. But, that's my official title for it. Yeah, it's still fun and it still holds up. So what have you been playing?
Briefly, I'm gonna talk about Deadly Premonition again because I played it more.
Yeah, I need to get back to that. I still haven't.
I got like an hour further than I was last week, and I don't really know where to go. Like, I'll just say that the story is like pretty freaking crazy.
Out of there.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, and it's actually getting kind of even creepier, but
like,
still also humorous.
Like, I never got past, like, I never got to the actual story part. I just, you know, the first mission where you're just fighting all the zombies. How is the story?
It's really, like, it's really interesting. Like, it's one of those things where I'm not exactly sure what the hell is going on, but I'm interested. I don't know. It's crazy. I really like York. He's a very likable character. I like how he talks to Zack in front of other people.
Really? That's what
Yeah. So people will look at him like he's fucking insane, which, I mean, I guess he pretty much is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's really cool, and he keeps having all these weird dreams, so I'm going to keep playing it. It's awesome.
Okay.
After that, this is another brief thing. I tried the 99 Nights 2 demo.
So it's 188 nights or something?
I guess, maybe, if they're going to Kingdom Hearts that name. And I never played the first one, and this demo was like maybe 10 minutes long, maybe. And what it was basically just running around in big fields of people, killing them.
Dynasty Warriors, but more extreme.
Yeah, it was like that, except it was really bloody, actually. Yeah. And people were, like, flying in pieces. And I really, really liked it for some reason.
Also, you think you'll rent this or pick it up?
I'm certainly not going to buy it at $60, but down the road, I'll definitely get it off Guzex. It was really, I don't know why, it reminded me a lot of Drakengard, which is...
Do you think you'll get the first one?
Maybe. Is there a demo for that?
I'm pretty sure.
I'll have to check that out. Because this one, it reminded me a lot of Drakengard, which is one of those games that I've always loved. So,
never heard of Drakengard.
It was an old Square Enix game.
Sounds fun.
And, yeah, I mean, I'll try it. I might just play the demo a few times over, because it seems like that's all you're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I want to commit genocide, I guess I'll just put that in. But, yeah, that was that.
And this is your big game. You're finished this one, and I kept telling you, relax. And you were just like, no, I gotta beat this.
I beat Alan Wake, like, an hour and a half ago.
Yeah. And he's been playing since 2 a.m. Or, no, I messed that up. Never mind. Just go ahead.
And the reason, I should have had this done much earlier in the week, but the reason I couldn't beat it was because this game is really conflicting for me. Half of this game is really, really cool, and I love it. And the other half, I fucking
hate. Combat.
I fucking hate it.
You hate the combat?
Yeah, I do. And I hate a lot of the other aspects of the game, too.
Like what?
Like his fucking internal monologue that I can't even handle.
See, I've never played this game. There was no demo, so I have no idea what this game is like.
You'll walk into a room, and he will be like, I walked into the room. And it's like, really? I can see. I know what's going on.
It almost sounds like Deadly Premonition.
Yeah, but it's not as humorous or cool. And there was just a lot of different... And the facial animation started freaking me out again. But
it's like a puppet, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really bad. But, I mean, I don't know. The combat is horrible. I fucking hate it.
Why?
Because, alright, so, remember last week how I said you could shine your light on people to make the shadow go off of them?
Mm-hmm.
And then you could shoot them? And how I said that people will come up behind you and get cheap shots on you?
Yeah.
Well, it only takes 4 damn hits to kill you, and if 2 people come up behind you and swing twice each,
mm-hmm.
you're dead. And I didn't find this out until halfway through the game, but there was some times where I spent 15 minutes fighting off a horde of these things when I should have just been running past them.
Mm.
And it almost feels like, well, what the fuck is the point of that? I don't know. Like, towards the end, I started getting into a groove where, like, they'd jump out, I'd shine my flashlight, shoot them. Because you get, like, different powered flashlights and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the whole thing. I felt like they were dragging it out through combat from getting here to there.
You just felt it was a waste of time.
Yeah. I would have much preferred if there was no combat at all, and it was just a more... Oh, and you know how I said it
was
still...
How does combat really play into the story, does it?
No, except for a few references to, I've never even shot a gun before yesterday, and stuff like that. But...
So it's kind of just put in there just to be a game.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be Heavy Rain, but it's not.
I mean, like, you have people with you sometimes, and they're like, holy shit, did you see that? And they'll help you fight, but it could have not been in there. Mm. Or, like, they still could have attacked you, and you could still be hurt, but you didn't have
to do that combat.
Yeah, that, it literally ruins the game for me. I can't even handle it. And
so you didn't like the game, or because you still say you're conflicted?
I'm very conflicted, because even though up until about an hour left, I was like, all right, this story really isn't that good. The very, it did one of those things at the very end where I was like, all right, that's kind of fucking awesome. Like, I don't know. I'm genuinely don't know. People are saying, oh, this is definitely going to be in my one of my games of the years. Absolutely not.
It's just, but you're still not sure where it is for you.
No, like, it's
maybe next week
not
once
be,
it's
not going to be in the game of the year for me, but it was still, like, I'm not even sure if I want to say, oh, go and rent this, because
really?
I know a lot of people really like it, so I feel like I'm in the minority here. But yeah, that was my experience with Alan Wake. I'm trying to think. There was other stuff that kept bothering me so badly.
Like, and did the collecting bother you?
No, because halfway through it, I said, fuck this. I'm not going to worry about collecting anything. Because remember how I said, oh, this is a game I could see going back and playing for achievements?
You're not doing that.
No way. Never. Never in my life.
Oh, yeah.
It was just the combat. I couldn't even handle it. That's Alan Wake. The story was good, and the characters, I really ended up liking most of the characters a lot. But I don't even know. The best thing I can say is that after every episode, they play a really good song, and at the very end, the song is Major Tom, which is awesome. So I don't know. Play it for yourself. I mean, yeah, rent it, I guess.
I'll probably rent it and then give a second opinion on this eventually.
Yeah, oh my god, I can't. Oh, and you know how you've heard things about pacing? Like some of the chapters are way too long.
Yeah.
Last chapter is, you drive to this place, and then you can't drive any further, so you get out, fight like 10 people, get in another car, drive further, and you do that like 10 times.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it was like, you could have made this so much better if you just were like, alright, you can get there. I have a lot of built-up rage, especially because I forced myself to beat it for the show, and...
Which I really said you didn't need to do, but you were like,
I know.
I gotta do this.
But... Yeah, so I don't know.
See, you seem more negative to this game.
Well, I mean, I would have. All right, let's put it this way. I would have rather seen it as a movie.
Okay, so Alan Wake the movie.
I mean, you've heard that how Sunflower watched it, right? His friend play it.
You would have rather.
I would have rather done that than play the damn thing myself.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Alan Wake, and my last game.
And where would you put that? Thumbs up, thumbs down, what?
Alan Wake?
Just not thinking, like, really, like, because you just played it. So just think about it, like, right
thumbs
now.
Thumbs down.
Okay.
Down.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so your last game, the big
last
one,
game.
The
yeah,
bigger
this
one.
Actually,
you
this
really
actually is the big
this.
One. And I really, really like this
and
game, much more than I should. And this is the Avatar game.
James Cameron's Avatar, not the Airbender.
Yeah, this is the Avatar game. And I don't know. I haven't seen the reviews, but I know it's getting pretty much universally shit on.
I was kind of hoping that they would do, and probably it was a bad idea, first person, and kind of like have a lineage of like good movie games. Like have King Kong and then this, but I don't know.
Well, you know what? I started this game, and they let you actually pick what your character looks like, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to be a girl or a guy or whatever. And
This does not... This is, like, before the movie. This is a prequel, right?
I'm thinking it takes place kind of...
In between.
In an alternate type thing.
Oh, yeah, I heard of... But, like...
Because there's stuff that's happening to my character that happened to the main character in the movie.
So they just kind of try to fix it?
Yeah, like, it seems like it's its own separate storyline.
Okay, so...
So, you start off as this Marine, and you're going to be in the Avatar program, which is when you get to put your mind to one of these Na'vi.
Features.
And at first I was like, oh my god, this is so bad, because I was playing as the Marine. But then when they gave me the Na'vi body, I was like, oh, this is actually really cool. And they actually... We're letting you explore Pandora a little bit, which, I mean, you've seen Avatar, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was
beautiful.
Beautiful.
At least.
So, I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. And then they, like 40 minutes in or so, they basically give you the thing is, all right, what side are you going to be on? And of course, I'm like, fuck that. I'm going to be the Na'vi. Like, I'm not going to be a human. So I pick sides, and it's actually really, really cool. It's almost open world, which you can imagine with Pandora is a really nice thing. Like, there's wildlife everywhere.
And you have to fight it off a lot?
Well, no, not as the Na'vi. If you were the human, you would have to, because that's one of the perks of being the whatever species. And it's just really cool. Like, some of the things that kind of suck is, as when you're the Na'vi, you have... I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of cool stuff about this game. You get experience, like a role-playing game. And when you level up, you can get new weapons and stuff. So, like, one of his weapons is he has two swords, or the staff, or the bow.
Does your character have a name, or is it user-generated?
They call him Able Rider.
Okay.
Like, but it's one of those things where it's because he rode some kind of animal.
Okay.
And, it's cool when you level up, but most of the time, the people you're fighting use long-range weapons, so your melee weapons, which are mostly what you have, don't come into effect very much. But it feels really oddly satisfying to use the bow on these people, like on this, because you're much taller than they are. So, like, you pull back.
I didn't really think about that, yeah.
You pull back, and you hit this, and they go flying, like, 50 feet in the air. And because it's open world, and the soldiers are kind of real-time scouring the forest, so you can be sitting there, and next thing you know, a troop of them will come toward you. So it's, like, really neat. And sometimes, if you catch them the right way, like, if you're on the treetops, and you see them down there, you can kind of play it like a predator, and, like, pick them off one by one, and they're like, what the fuck's going on? And then, like, you jump down and hit them with your sword right in the face. It's weirdly atmospheric.
So, like, it captures the feel of Avatar really well.
Yeah, it does. And I was really surprised, and the story is, it's really not that good, but it's enough to string me together saying, all right, now you have to go here and do this. So I'm like, all right, that's cool. And then you find one of those horses and you hop on it and you go over there. And, I mean, I'm thinking that if you play as the Marine, as a human,
it would be boring.
It would probably be one of the worst games ever. But,
and I asked you this and you said that you don't think that you'll ever have to play as a Marine.
No, because...
Unless you replay the game.
Yes, because one of the story things happened, and it happens in the movie, so if you've seen it, you can probably guess what I'm happening. But I'm not going to be able to go back to being a human.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's just, I'm almost a little flabbergasted. Like, we're probably killing all of our credibility because I'm saying that this supposedly horrible game is awesome.
Better
but,
than Alan Wake.
Oh, I love it so much more than Alan Wake. And it's crazy because...
So how far are you in it?
I've been playing it for like 8 hours.
How much do you think like it's gonna wrap up, or do you have?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, at this point, like you have different, like you have a hub, and then you go to a globe and pick where it is you want to go from there, and then they like put you into another very open area, and there's little percentages at the bottom, and I want to hit all of them to 100 because I'm enjoying this game this much.
Wow.
It's awesome. I can't even believe
it. Your movie game of forever.
Definitely.
One of your favorite movie games. So.
Yeah, it's one of those games where I don't even think I'll get rid of it afterwards because I think it'll be fun to put back in and just fuck around.
So, it's big amazing. Thumbs up on Avatar.
Yeah, and
I
know...
I kind of was curious about this game. Maybe I'll
most people are going to be like, what are you talking about? But I really, really like it. That probably doesn't... I don't know. I can't explain it. I also really, really, really like the movie, and a lot of people thought it was horrible. So maybe that
the movie was all right.
Maybe that'll. I mean, if you watch the movie more for the world and the atmosphere than the story, then you might be able to get into this game. It's just the only things I can say are you're probably going to die a lot because those checkpoints are very well spaced out.
So you think you'll be talking about this next week? Because you seem addicted to it.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I'm probably going to actually play this when we get out of here, but it's really, really good. I'm stoked about it. Two thumbs way up on Avatar so far. I mean, unless it throws a horrible curveball at me.
Okay.
And, that's it for what we're playing, right?
Yeah, and we got no books.
Yeah,
we got no
neither of us
have
been reading.
So, no jingle there. So what we've been watching... Let's get our popcorn ready. Okay.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready. Do you got your popcorn ready?
I kind of rewatched this. I didn't watch it all. But, you know, this was Where the Wild Things Are. I really like this movie. This is probably my movie of 2009. And you said you really wanted to watch this, but you never got around to it.
No.
It's a really... Have you ever, like, heard about Driving with Miss Daisy? I always use this analogy for it.
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Well, like, with Driving Miss Daisy, you could say nothing happens. But, because it's all character development.
Right, okay.
Because, like, not a lot really does happen, but it's just, like, it's not really a movie for kids, even though... Maybe it was marketed that way. And the director said it's not a movie for kids. It's a movie about kids. It's basically like... You've read the book, right?
Yeah, all six sentences of it whatever it is. Yeah.
It's basically that, but like...
Fleshed out?
Yeah, where it's like it just deals with like... Oh, you got hurt or something. Like oh, you're playing favorites with this person. You're doing... All this stuff. It's really an emotional movie. And I, like, almost got teary-eyed at the end of it.
I heard it was extremely depressing.
Oh, if you're looking for light and fluffy stuff, don't come here. So if you're ready to get out those tissues, not for bad reasons, but for good.
And I have a morbid personality, so when you say it's depressing, it actually makes me want to see it more.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Yeah, maybe we'll hear your opinion on it. It's sad, and we probably, once you see it, I'll probably talk about it more, because I think you're going to see it, right?
Yeah, I'll try and see it.
Is it on Netflix yet?
I don't think so, but I'll find some way to rent it or something.
Okay. Well, the other thing I've been watching, and this one's kind of a special thing, it's a YouTube internet thing. It's called Web Zeros. Have you ever heard of this?
I have not.
Have you ever heard of the Machinima... now I'm trying to... Elite World?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm not very, like, knowledgeable about that stuff.
Okay. Well, these guys made a Machinima called Elite World, and it was a Counter-Strike thing. Now they're doing a live-action show, which I think is much better than Elite World, because it's a lot funnier, and,
So it's a funny thing?
Yeah, it's a comedy. And it's about just these three guys, and they get more people along the way trying to be internet famous. And it's ridiculous. It has I don't want to say, like, it's all, like, lols and LOLs and, you know, stuff like that, like, internet humor. But, I mean, to some extent, it kind of is. It does it right, I think. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't overplay it. Like, one of the characters on the show is a hobo, and he worked for 3D Realms, the Duke Nukem company.
Oh, Jesus.
So, if that gives you any idea.
Yeah, that's funny. That's clever.
And he's like, I just got addicted to World of Warcraft, man. I just collecting all that stuff. First it was EverQuest and World of Warcraft, and nothing got done every day. So, sometimes it overdoes it, but recently it's been really funny. I think it's on the second season. It's, like, got 20 episodes. I really recommend everyone.
How long are the episodes?
They're, like, 10 minutes. They fit to YouTube. So, I mean, I would buy a DVD of this. That's how much I like this show. Even though
really?
All the episodes are free on the internet.
Like, if they released the DVD the way that the Guild did, with, like, extra...
Yeah, I'd definitely
stuff,
buy it.
You would buy that?
Yeah.
Alright.
And, like, the Guild was over, like, too much for me. Like, it was too ridiculous. I think this is, like, much more the right humor, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I really like this, and I recommend everyone at least watch a couple episodes. The first episodes are a little much, but... Like, it gets way better, and they have so many crazy characters that it really works.
That sounds... I might have to check that out, actually. That sounds cool.
Yeah, and it's all free, so...
So
you've been watching something that both things that I really didn't know much about.
Yeah, the first thing I watched is a movie that I've actually seen before as well, and it's one of my favorite movies. It's called SLC Punk, which stands for Salt Lake City. And it's about these two punks, like, in the real sense of the world, like, in the 80s, that are just trying to live in a anarchistic kind of way. And it stars Matthew Lillard. He's the main character. The guy that played, like, you know, Shaggy and Scooby-Doo.
Oh, I had no idea who you were talking about. Like, okay.
Yeah, and he's in Without a Paddle as well. But, and he's really cool. And he plays a character named Steve-O. But it's more of, like...
Not Steve-O, the one guy from...
Jackass, no.
Okay.
But the way the characters are, it's kind of one of those things where you said about Driving Miss Daisy, where nothing really happens, but it's all character development.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what's going on here, and... It's almost like he breaks the fourth wall sometimes and talks to the camera about what's going on.
Only thing I can think of is kind of like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but with punk. Am I completely wrong there?
That's actually a pretty good comparison. I mean, it's punk, obviously, but the way he talks to the camera and everything. And it's a really, really good movie, and it turns out being one, like, you start it off and it's just kind of an enjoying, like, oh, man, this is cool. And it goes through this really kind of emotional, like, all right, this is a neat movie. And it's pretty funny sometimes, too.
I'm not really big into the punk movement. Well, I hate this movie if I see it.
See, I really am big into it, so I don't know.
I don't mind punk. I just, like, I think punk's okay.
It's pretty funny, and it's basically, like I said to Muzz earlier, it's like a coming-of-age story.
Yeah.
Just with a punk costume. So, I definitely recommend it, and I think it's something that you will probably be able to get out of it, even if you aren't into the whole punk movement or style. So, I mean, I would say check it out. But, I mean, if you have to, like, buy it or something, yeah, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if people think that they would like it...
Rent it?
Yeah, definitely. It's on Netflix. If you have Netflix, instant stream it. And the other movie I watched...
You saw this in a theater.
Yeah.
You didn't like it.
No. It's called MacGruber.
And it's a Saturday Night Live kind of movie? Or
is
supposed
it?
To be?
I don't know.
Well, because, like, all the actors I saw are from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, like, maybe it's like a skit or something. I don't know. I didn't know anything about it. This is how it went down. My friend called me and said, hey, can you come get me? My parents are freaking out. Let's go to a movie. And then we got there, and that was the only thing that was playing. So we went to see it. And halfway through the movie, we were both like, this is the worst fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
So what's bad about it?
They try to be like...
Well, first, let's explain what the movie's about.
It's kind of like a MacGyver parody.
Okay, okay.
And he's, like, supposed to be some really secret agent guy that's now he's trying to live a life of peace. And they come back and they're like, we need you one more time. You know, one of those things. And it tries to be overly, serious with its dialogue so that you laugh. Like, oh, man, these guys are being really cheesy. But it's not funny at all. It's just stupid.
So it's, like, even worse than Hot Tub Time Machine? Which
I've never seen that.
Me neither, so I didn't.
I actually heard that was really funny, but, there was this part, I laughed, like, once, and it was probably because it was at something that wasn't really supposed to be funny. And if you, like, here's how this was. It was me and my friend, and then in the rest in the theater was a guy with his wife who was in a wheelchair staring at the ceiling the whole time, and that was it.
That was the whole theater experience?
Yeah. And then... I laughed maybe once or twice. It was just, it wasn't funny at all, and it was, I really felt like I wasted my time.
And money.
Yeah, definitely. It was just terrible. If you seriously said, hey, name a movie worse than MacGruber, I don't think I could. It was that bad. No, it was that bad.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not kidding. It was, I didn't think it was funny. It was stupid. Val Kilmer or whatever was in it.
Wait, Val Kilmer's in this?
Yeah.
Now you have me interested.
He's the main bad guy. Like, it's not even one of those movies you watch because it's so bad. You bury it out in the back and let your dog piss on it.
Oh, yeah.
It's really bad.
Oh, wow. So, no love for MacGruber.
No.
I might watch this just to see.
15 thumbs down.
Okay, then I won't watch it.
It's terrible.
Okay. Okay, so, since we had no ratings, let's just get right into the spotlight, which we still need a jingle for. So if you guys got one, or what, and if you want to change the name of it to some extent, go for that too. We just haven't gotten one yet, so. Okay, so this is Spotlight. I'm going to let you go first on this one.
Okay, so this is the segment where we pick a game that isn't out yet. The game I picked is called Enslaved Odyssey to the West.
Which I have never heard of.
This actually, I started reading about this game like 4 or 5 months ago. It had a big centerpiece in Game Informer. And it's by the guys who made Heavenly Sword, which probably
now you got me interested.
Which I heard is probably more of a con than it is a pro.
I liked, because like, these guys made one of my favorite Xbox games, which is really sad, Kung Fu Chaos, and then they made Heavenly Sword.
Really? So, well, maybe you'll like this then. But
is it a party game?
No. Oh. It's actually got the you know the guy who did the acting and movements and stuff for Gollum in The Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, he's part of this.
He does all the movements for the main character whose name is Monkey, and I think he
is
also
the Monkey King or something.
No, it's just his name is Monkey, I guess. But he I think he also wrote the script for it. And apparently it is supposed to be very story driven, but it's also supposed to be very, I mean, with something like Heavenly Sword in your stable, it's supposed to be a very deep combat system as well. And a lot of platforming because you're monkey. So you're supposed to be like jumping and everything. And the story apparently is it's 100 or 200 years in the future. And it's like everything's kind of post-apocalyptic, but instead of being barren, everything, all the plants have just outgrown everything, so it's really actually very vibrant and pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And this special, I don't know if they're aliens or what, but they're taking like people to a specific like camp and all that stuff. And Monkey is on one of these ships. He gets caught, but a girl on the ship crashes it, and then Monkey wakes up with this band wrapped around his head, which basically what it is she put it on him so that he needs to help her get home, and if he doesn't, it'll blow up and...
So it's like a mystical band.
No, it's like robotic, like it's very...
Oh, so this is in the future.
Yeah, it's 100 or 200 or so years in the future.
Oh, okay, because I thought it was another, like, Heavy Rain, or not Heavy Rain, what do you call
it? I mean, like, all the enemies are robots.
Okay. Because I never heard about this, so it sounds cool.
And, so he has this, like, metal band wrapped around his head that if he doesn't help her, it'll, like, constrict and crush his skull or something like
that. Okay.
So basically, he's the reluctant hero, like, I gotta help this chick now. And I've heard it compared to, what was it?
God of War.
Like, supposed to be God of War combat-wise. Ico with the way that you help each other out.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And because like you'll throw her up onto a ledge, so,
mm-hmm.
and then she'll push a boulder down on someone.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the platforming was something else. I think I want to say it said Prince of Persia, but I'm not sure. So it sounds like a formula for success. And a lot of the like recently, it's been coming. I've heard a lot more about it recently, and they actually just added this Odyssey to the West name.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the first looks and everything that people have been doing have been saying this game is going to be the Arkham Asylum of this year.
Oh, well, that's
which is like, that's a big-ass order, but it sounds amazing. So I've been excited, but I've been like, hey, have you guys heard about Enslaved? And people have been like, no, I've never even, what is that? But now it's
finally...
Well,
I hadn't heard about it until you talked about it just now.
And it's finally getting its legs and interest, and it's coming out for the PS3 in 2000, in 360.
Oh,
is it? Fall.
So it's not a PS3 exclusive, like.
No, it's coming out this fall, and I'm just extremely excited for it. It sounds like one of those games, and if the art style looks very cool.
Okay,
I'll definitely
look into this.
Got
me interested.
Yeah, it looks awesome. So that's Enslaved. What do you got?
I think it's by this. same publisher. I looked at this. It's Splatterhouse, different developers. It was originally done by BioRocket, which I don't remember what they did, but then Namco Bandai was like, here, let us take that for you, because this is important. Splatterhouse, if you didn't know, they made three Splatterhouses, one for, like, the TurboGrafx-16, two for the Genesis, and stuff like that. And it's just these, like, you kind of play, like, a Jason-looking character named Rick trying to save his girlfriend. And this is going to be, like, really, from what I get out of it, it's going to be really, like, Devil May Cry kind of combat. But no guns.
I watched one trailer of it, and it looks like it's going to be, like, off the wall, bloody and gory.
Yeah. Like, one thing I, like, because, like, the first time it ever appeared, when Bottle Rocket still had it, it was like, oh, whenever Rick's attacked or, like, bitten or attacked, because, like, you're fighting zombies and, like, creatures and stuff, like, you'll go down, he has a regenerate, because his mask is, like, the mask he wears is, like, magical, so it, eventually you'll regenerate your body parts, because, like, if you get really, really hurt, you'll just be, like, bones.
So, like in Wolverine?
Kinda. So, I really am excited about this, and I hope the change from developers was for the better, not for the worse. But, I mean, it looks like just a fun old game.
Did you play the older ones?
What? Oh, yeah, I played the older ones a little. Those are 2D, this is 3D, so that's a
right, yeah,
big jump.
So this looks like it's not going to be so much as like a horror thing as it is going to be kind of a ridiculous.
It's going to be more combat. Like, instead of like, it's less, more Left 4 Dead, less Silent Hill.
Alright. I think it looks cool.
Yeah.
But I didn't play the first one, so I might be like.
Well, I think it's a remake, so.
Alright. Well, it looks cool.
First one. And you're saving your girlfriend, so. Simple story there. Kill zombies and monsters. Hopefully they don't have, because, like, they had some weird enemies in the last one, or in the old ones. Like, they had zombie fetuses try to attack you. I'm not
really
kidding. Yeah,
that's
like,
awesome.
This was in the 90s, so it was, like, one of the first, like, violent, really, really violent games.
That's like Hitler at the end of Bionic Commando.
Yeah. Well. And, like, it had a tiny little rating system that said, this might be violent for children or something, so.
Oh, maybe, a little bit.
But, yeah, so I'm excited about this, and it looks like it's, hopefully, I'm a little scared about the whole development thing, but hopefully it's for the best.
Is this going to be $60, do you know? I mean,
It's not going to be DLC. It's probably.
Well, I mean, like, is there a chance it could be a budget title? Because it looks like something that I would just wait on.
Bandai, so I don't know. Maybe it could be their next, like.
They put out Katamari games.
Yeah,
right?
I know. Those are like 40 or 20, so we'll see. I'm not counting on it just because it is like more graphically powerful and it's not like so niche, but they haven't even given you a release date yet. It probably is not going to even come out this year, so. But they will be showing it off on E3.
Cool.
So we'll have a big E3 blowout, and that'll be in there. Hopefully Enslave will be at E3 as well.
Yeah, I'm hoping. It should be.
Okay, so we got one more segment before we wrap this thing up.
Yep, we got the news.
The news, so. There's the music. And so we got lots. So Impulse is having a big Memorial Day sale. So this is happening not tomorrow, but Monday. Or is it going on for Memorial Day weekend?
It's going on at least now, and I think till Monday. And I mean, there's a bunch of stuff here, but really the first three ones are the most tasty looking.
I'm not a big. So it's Sins of the Solar Empire is $4. That's pretty good, but I'm not interested in it.
I'm not either, but that sounds like something I would pay for anyway.
It's the company's game, so they can do that to it.
Yeah.
You can get Mass Effect 1 and 2 for less than $50.
For 42, but it's only North America only, so.
But, you know.
Most people probably have both of them now anyway.
or on 360 or whatever.
Yeah.
Dragon Age Awakening is also Dragon Age Origins and Awakening, the expansion pack, is a little less than $50. And then there's all the Need for Speeds for like $25. The newest Prince of Persia for $10 and Demigod for $10. So
not the newest.
The new Prince of 2008 Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. We'll probably make this once we get our timing down on scheduling, like how long a segment should be. We'll have probably like a full on like sale, like trades and sales and all the good stuff. I just wanted to say one more sale that I really noticed that I really think people should look into, and I'm probably going to do it. You can get at GameStop, and I know GameStop, but they have Super Mario Galaxy 2 for $40, and you can get $20 extra GameStop credit with that. So it's really you're only paying $20 for it, kind of. Do you think he'll pick it up?
Yeah, I think so. $20 sounds amazing. I've heard nothing but good things about that game.
So, and then they got some other ones, and we'll put a link in the thread for that. Right?
Yep.
Okay, so, that's it for our unofficial news segment. Okay, so, what's this about Pokemon Black and White I hear?
The cover Pokemon for Black and White have been announced, like, you know, the legendaries that will be specific to that game.
And Pokemon Black and White seems like the first Pokemon where they're really changing it up.
Yeah, it does look very weird. But, I don't know how to pronounce these, really. It looks like Reshiram and Zekrom or something like that.
Zekrom.
But they both look very, very cool.
I don't know.
I'll post a link of the pictures of them, because they both look really cool, I think.
And I was talking to Carnage, and they kind of look like Heartless, you know?
Yeah, like, the one is white, so it looks like a nobody, and the other one's black and looks like a Heartless from Kingdom Hearts.
So we'll see how these pan into the actual game.
I know, but, like, the black one is for white, and I was going to get version black, but now I'm thinking I'm going to get the white version, because that one looks really awesome. Oh, okay.
And moving on. Mark Hamill is planning to retire from Joker after Arkham Asylum 2, so this is the last time we're ever going to hear that voice. That's kind of sad.
Yeah, he's definitely the best voice Joker ever.
Even Heath Ledger can't do that.
Yeah, he's amazing as the Joker. It's kind of sad that he's doing that, but you'll always have the whole backlog of a Batman cartoons.
Yeah. So that's good. Do you want to take this one?
Yeah. The Witcher 2 for PC is going to come out of spring next year. And I know that they are planning on bringing it to the consoles, but I don't think that's going to be a later process. But I know that The Witcher is one of the games.
They had that one Witcher that never came out that was supposed to be like a port of Witcher 1.
Yeah, and that was because the company that made The Witcher gave it to someone else to port it, but now they're going to do it themselves.
Mm.
But Witcher is one of those games that you hear a lot of good things about, but it's not really
a bad game.
Recognized.
Mm.
But apparently it's pretty freaking good, so hopefully this will be good.
So, spring next year. I'm going to take this one. This is just a little thing. Duke Nukem, the Manhattan Project. This is the side-scrolling Duke Nukem, not the first-person Duke Nukem. This is coming to Xbox Live Arcade soon. And it's already been on PC, so
how much do you think that's going to be?
It's already $10 on PC, so I can't imagine it being that much more.
Is it good? Have you played it?
No, I'm not. It's probably fine. It's just, you know. I'm going to add this one into the show notes right now. They're thinking about doing for Earthworm Jim HD, which I already own Earthworm Jim, but I'm willing to own it for this reason. They're thinking about doing co-op, which really excites me if they can do it right.
And this is on the XBLA.
Yeah, or and possible other systems, but yeah.
I'll probably get that too, because I can't remember the last time I played Earthworm Jim.
Mm-hmm. So, you take the last two.
Alright. So, a new Sonic game was announced. It's called Sonic Colors, and it's for the Wii and the DS, and I don't know. I'm kind of one of those people that I'm always looking forward to the next Sonic game for some reason.
I don't look forward to the Sonic games on these systems.
Well, yeah, and what this is, what I read of it was, Sonic needs to traverse a sci-fi-themed amusement park to stop Eggman, and there's going to be multicolored aliens involved that will give him special powers once you meet them.
Oh.
So, yeah, I don't know. And the last thing we got is kind of
media news, I guess.
Yeah, and it's kind of a sad thing, but... Well, it is a sad thing, and that's
kind of, yeah, it's not really, but you know what we mean.
Gary Coleman died yesterday, and he was only 42 years old, but he, I think he fell sometime earlier this week.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he fell somewhere, and then they took him to the hospital, and then his wife took him off life support yesterday.
Oh, and that's how he died.
Yeah, so, I mean, that sucks. I never watched Different Strokes before.
Me neither.
And I can't think of anything else that he was actually in.
He was in bad movies, and he's always been kind of a, you know, a joke of the comedians. It was like, oh, it's Gary Coleman.
Like, I know that towards the end he was like really hurting. I heard something about him being a normal, like a mall security guard.
Yeah, and he got in trouble or fought with someone.
So he had a pretty rough life.
He even tried to be governor of California. Like,
really?
Else. Well, I mean, everyone tried to be governor of California when...
I mean, it's a shame. It's not ever good news that somebody's dead, but... And, yeah, hopefully people remember him more for, you know, what you're talking about, Willis.
Or that Gary Camp... You know he had an animated show, didn't you?
No.
Where he was an angel, so... I don't know.
What?
He was an angel that went down to... run down to Earth to help people. I'm not kidding.
I guess it's kind of relevant now, huh?
I don't know. It was a little that was when because he was a child actor and he was, you know, don't know how.
Why does that sound so fucked up now? It's like, oh yeah, he's dead. By the way, he used to have a show where he was an angel. But yeah, that's a shame, and that's all.
And that's how we're gonna end this episode of Gary Coleman being dead.
Yeah, make sure you send questions to the mailbag
and
if you have any.
Yeah. So yeah, Gary Coleman's dead.
Oh my god. Yeah. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. We tried to make it a little bit shorter.
Hopefully we didn't cut too much out of it, and if we did, tell us in the thread, and I'm going to get some more people listening. We're going to get some videos out there of these episodes.
Yeah, enjoy the next week.
Yeah, we're going to have, should we even say this?
Well, no, it's not a for sure thing yet.
So. Oh, okay, so secrets. Secrets are going on. One more thing, if you're listening from other places, check out NoobTube. It's a really cool place to be, and check out the other podcasts that are on NoobTube, like NoobTube, the main podcast, and the Modcast.
Oh shit, we're on iTunes.
Yeah, my bad. We're on iTunes. And
we're on iTunes now.
You can subscribe and rate and get comment. So go for that. Do it. Do it.
Yep, that's all we got for this week. We'll see you guys next week.
And hopefully we'll have a jam-packed episode next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
We're at an impasse here. Maybe we should compromise. If you open up the door, we'll all come inside.